You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, some surprising facts and unanswered questions about allergies.
First, we're getting the latest news out of the Supreme Court. The court is racing to issue opinions in several cases before the end of the month, and this morning they announced a handful of decisions.
Adam Liptak is here to fill us in. He's the Supreme Court reporter for the New York Times. Adam, welcome back to Central Time.
Great to be here.
Well, let's start with an announcement about a case out of Wisconsin. The Supreme Court announced that it will not take up a case about a public school graduation in an evangelical church here in the state. What does the decision mean?
It was a bit of a surprise because the court has this term indicated a receptiveness to some role for religion in public life, ruling that town board meetings can start with a prayer. And you might have thought that they'd take a case on whether a high school graduation can take place in a church with lots of religious Christian symbolism. But the court turned it down over a dissent from two justices, Justices Scalia and Justice Thomas, who said they should have taken it or, at a minimum, sent the case back to the lower courts for reconsideration in light of the legislative town hall prayer meeting per case.
Right. And as you say, it seemed as though this Wisconsin case could have allowed the justices to extend that decision you were talking about to public schools, but they did the reverse. Why, in effect, did they draw the line there?
My best guess is that Justice Kennedy, the swing vote, thinks that government-sanctioned religious displays are more okay when children are not involved. That is, when you have students going to a place where they're compelled to go and want to go for their graduations, the fact that they're minors makes a difference to them, and that probably means that neither side was sure they had his vote, and therefore they'd rather kick the can down the road.
And what do you think the decision says about the issue of separation of church and state looking forward?
Well, when the court turns down a case, which it does 99% of the time, they make a point of saying it doesn't establish a precedent, it doesn't disclose a point of view. So I wouldn't read very much into the fact that they turned this down. But I do think we saw in the town board meeting case, and are likely to see in a case in the next couple of weeks about religious companies' objections to this, the so-called contraception mandate, that this is a court where there's a receptiveness to some religion in government settings.
Well, let's move on to another fairly big decision here. The Supreme Court ruled against the gun lobby in a decision that gun buyers have to report when they're buying a gun for somebody else. How did that decision unfold?
Well, on the one hand, it seems fairly straightforward. A federal law says that you have to say if you're buying on behalf of someone else, and this person did not say, and was convicted of failing to disclose that he was a so-called straw buyer, and was sentenced to 5 years probation. What was a little bit surprising is that this statutory interpretation case divided 5-4 along the classic lines of Kennedy plus the four more liberal justices in the majority and the four more conservative justices in dissent. You see that more often in big controversial constitutional cases, where it's just a matter of interpreting the words of a statute. You don't see as many of these kinds of 5-4s.
And this was the second of two decisions going against the gun lobby. Does that signify anything?
I wouldn't be so quick to characterize it as a pro versus con gun lobby case. I would say that the court, ever since it established an individual right to bear arms under the Second Amendment in 2008, has almost entirely stayed out of the question. So it's basically let federal and state governments continue to impose gun regulations. So the early message of that big Second Amendment case in 2008 seems not to have been followed through on.
And Judge Scalia issuing a pretty scathing dissension on this one. What do you know about what he said?
Justice Scalia said that at least when the person actually going to the counter to buy the gun is buying it for someone who's also eligible to have a gun, whether you make the disclosure or not is completely immaterial. By Scalia standards, it wasn't so scathing, but he did think the majority opinion by Justice Kagan was quite wrong.
Well, there's another one which has had some twists and turns, a major victory for the group Susan B. Anthony List. And the court has approved their lawsuit, that it can go forward. Can you tell us a little bit about this one?
Yeah, Ohio has a law, and so do 15 other states, that makes it a crime, this will surprise you, makes it a crime to lie in a political campaign. And Susan B. Anthony List wanted to challenge that law. It had tried to put up a billboard saying that an incumbent congressman's vote for the Affordable Care Act was a vote for taxpayer-funded abortion. That's not clear that that's a true statement. And the Ohio Elections Commission said there was probable cause to think they'd commit a crime when by putting up that billboard. And they wanted to sue over the law and ask the question of, does the First Amendment allow the government to stop people from speaking in a political campaign? And the only question for the court was not the more interesting question of, is this law constitutional, but the threshold question of, had this group suffered a direct enough, imminent enough injury to be allowed to sue? And the court unanimously said yes. If nothing else, they can sue, and we'll decide later whether the law is constitutional.
So what happens next?
It goes back to the lower courts, and there's likely to be a trial.
And do you think it's likely to get kicked back upstairs to the Supreme Court?
I think it depends how it comes out. I think this is a court, judging by its earlier decisions, that is not comfortable with laws that make it a crime to speak in a political campaign. So if the lower court were to strike down the law, I don't know that it goes back to the Supreme Court. If the lower court says that law is fine, the Supreme Court's quite likely to intercede.
How important do you think that this particular case is?
Oh, I think it's the particular case, you know, maybe not so much. The general issue of how much the government can regulate speech in a political setting is very important and goes to the core of the First Amendment and is not wholly unrelated to cases like Citizens United, which also rely on the First Amendment to characterize corporate expenditures as political speech. So it fits into the court's jurisprudence more generally.
And the court has announced that it's going to turn away from an appeal in Argentina. The nation tried to appeal a decision requiring it to pay holders of bonds on which it had defaulted. Give us a little bit of the backstory there.
Yes, so this is a financially very important case. Argentina defaulted in 2001 on billions of dollars of debt. And 92% of the people the people who held those bonds agreed to take an enormous haircut, to take 20 or 25 cents on the dollar. But a few people didn't. And they sued, and they said Argentina was not entitled to force them into that kind of restructuring. And the lower courts in New York agreed, and the Supreme Court, by not agreeing to hear the case today, now has put Argentina to what will be a very difficult choice for it, of whether to default yet again or to pay out these holdout bondholders probably $15 billion, which is an enormous shock to that economy.
Well, looking ahead, the court has a lot of work ahead of it in just the next couple of weeks. One of the biggest cases still on the table is the so-called Hobby Lobby case, the craft giant challenging government-mandated birth control. What are you expecting there?
I think more likely than not, the court says two things. First of all, that at least some closely held corporations that say they want to operate on a religious basis do have religious liberty rights. And then it probably goes on to say, I would guess by a 5-4 majority, that those rights were violated by a law that would force companies to provide contraceptive coverage to women, where those companies contend that at least some of the drugs and devices involved are tantamount to abortion. That's speculation, of course. We'll find out in the next couple of weeks. But they have a lot of big cases yet to come in the next 2 weeks.
And just in our last minute here, there's a slew of other things. I think it's fair to call it a slew. What's sticking up on your radars as some of the biggest things they have to decide?
Oh, I like the case about protest zones around abortion clinics, about whether the police can search your cell phone if they arrest you, about recess appointments, about a service called Aereo that streams broadcast television over the Internet, one about greenhouse gases. Today wasn't such a big day at the court, but the next few days of decisions are going to be big ones.
Great. Well, Adam, thank you so much for joining us and getting us up to speed.
Thanks for having me.
That was Adam Liptak, Supreme Court reporter for The New York Times.